Well, we're embarking on a story and a journey. The story of Joseph and his journey as he follows the dream. And it's a story that has captivated people for thousands of years, and certainly on Broadway. And it's captivated young and old alike. And so this morning, I want us to begin the journey together over the next weeks until Thanksgiving. Listen to these words from Genesis 37, verses 2 and following. I once heard Cyrus Gordon, who's a great ancient Near East scholar and linguist, say that the story of Joseph in Genesis is the greatest piece of literature, just on a literature basis, the greatest piece of literature in the entire ancient Near East until at least the Odyssey and the Iliad. So it's an amazing piece of literature, but even more has great truths to teach us. So listen to these words. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long, beautiful coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up, and then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. He had another dream and told it to his brothers, saying, "Look, I have had another dream. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What kind of dream is this that you've had? Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow down to the ground before you?" May Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. I want to begin this journey as we think about the truths in this story of Joseph. And this morning I want to begin this series on following your dreams with daring to dream great dreams. Speaking of dreams, I don't know if we got any Cubs fans out there. I thought when I told a joke about the Cubs this past summer, I thought maybe this is really some impetus because they were having such a great year, and then they got into the playoffs then, and then of course the dreams were dashed this past week. Unfortunately, I heard just one time someone said, "What do the Chicago Cubs and Billy Graham have in common?" The answer is they can both make 40,000 people stand up and yell, "Jesus Christ." Go with Billy Graham on that. I also heard about this on a different vein. I heard about this man who was lying outside on a beautiful day. He was looking up at the clouds, and as he was looking there, he just felt inspired, and he said, "God, how long is a million years?" And he felt in his heart this voice from God saying, "In my reference, it's just a minute." The man thought for a moment. He said, "Well, God, how much is $1 million? And again, he heard this voice, "To me, it's just a penny." The man thought for a moment and said, "God, can I have a penny?" And a voice came back, "Sure, in a minute." You know, seriously, when you think about it sometimes, if we think about our dreams, sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe God isn't on the side of my dreams. Maybe God doesn't want my dreams to take place. Maybe God wants to be the one who takes away the dreams of my life. And I don't think that's the case. And I think there's some truths here in the scripture reading as we go through in the weeks to come that help us sort of uncover that. And this morning I want to think about following our dreams and dreaming great dreams. I once heard this, that sort of an offhand statistic, that many of us start our careers and we start out with 1% experience and 99% enthusiasm. And 30 or 40 years down the road, we end our careers with 99% experience and 1% enthusiasm. I think the truth of it in our career world, in our relationships, in our church life, is that God wants us to dream great dreams and to have the passion to pursue those dreams in all of life. In fact, St. Irenaeus, the great saint back in the 3rd century, said this, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. And so the first thing I want to think about is just to dare to dream great dreams. And I want to look at this story and kind of walk through it. And you think about Jacob, he had a number of sons, and Joseph was only 17 at the time these dreams took place. And so he was quite young. He was the youngest of all of his brothers, and so as the youngest of all of his brothers, he had the least rights to the inheritance of his father and to any of the sort of social powers that might be, so he was the least powerful. And to make matters worse, and we're told that Jacob loved Joseph the most because he was the son of his older years. And sometimes we've seen parents spoil their youngest kids, right? I know no one in here does that. And you know, parents shouldn't play favorites, but sometimes they do. And so Jacob apparently couldn't help himself, just loved Joseph. And maybe he thought in that Joseph maybe had the seeds of greatness, and Jacob could see that in Joseph. But in any case, we're told that because of that, the other brothers just hated Joseph and couldn't say a kind word to him and probably pushed him around. And then Jacob made this beautiful coat for his son Joseph. Now, in the New Revised Standard Version, it says a coat with sleeves. Now, I'm not sure where they came up with that new translation, but the Hebrew word is pas, which means multicolored. And in fact, if you look here, there's actually an Egyptian hieroglyphic that's got a coat of many colors on it. So we know that there were some coat of many colors at that time. So in any case, most of the translations are this coat of many colors. And apparently it was so beautiful, so ornate, that all the brothers were very jealous about it. And so it says they hated him even worse. And then, were that not bad enough, then Joseph had this dream, and it's a pretty amazing dream. And it says this, he said, I was binding sheaves in the field, and suddenly my sheaf. Now, this is back in the days when they would take their corn or wheat or whatever, and in order to harvest, they'd sort of cut them all, and they'd bind them together, and so these big sheaves, and still some parts of the country, particularly Amish, sometimes do that with corn or what have you, but it's kind of a beautiful sight. But Joseph says, we were binding sheaves, and as we did that, then your sheaves came around and bowed down to mine. And you know, you don't have to be Freud or have a PhD in psychiatry to sort of read that dream, right? And so his brother said, what, are we going to bow down to you? And of course, that just had to stir things up even more. And then time went on, and then Joseph had another dream, and he shared that other dream with his brother and said, look, I had another dream. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And once again, you know, it doesn't take Dr. Phil to figure this out. And so Jacob's father now, so Joseph's father Jacob heard this dream, and he said, are you kidding me? Am I and your mother and all your brothers going to come and bow down to you? And so things just went from bad to worse from that. But it's interesting, isn't it, in all this? I mean, you may look at Joseph and think, well, gee, he was kind of immature. I mean, to share these dreams is one thing, to have a dream, but then to sort of share it with your brothers when you know it sort of lifts yourself up. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at Joseph, apparently his heart was stirred passionately by the dream that God, no doubt, gave him. And so we think about that for a moment. I mean, what do we think about when we think about God in our dreams? Do you think that God is trying to press you down and to keep you from your dreams? Or is God the one who lifts us up and wants us to follow our dreams, if they're dreams that honor God and serve others and bless God in all that we do? And you might think today, I don't have a coat of many colors, and you know, God hasn't given me that dream or what have you, and I'm not like Joseph, and I don't have a father Jacob. But the truth is that we all have a Heavenly Father who loves us more than we can possibly imagine, and that God has ordained that we might do great things. We might do great things. And you think about some of the people in the Bible who had great dreams, and you think about obviously Joseph who had this dream, but you know, Ruth aspired to a dream, and we think of Esther, whose heart was touched with a dream, and we know that Daniel believed in dreams and had dreams. They touched his life, and we know that God sort of spoke to Peter in a dream that helped him to reach out to the Gentiles, and the same with Paul. And it says this in Psalm 37. I love these words. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in God, and he will do this. God will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. God wants us to have big dreams, I believe. God wants us to nurture our dreams, and God wants us to have a passion that brings our dreams together. And you think for a moment about Jesus' words. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. And that word ask means to keep on asking. Ask what's in your heart, what's deep in your heart. And I think if our dreams are born from a right relationship with God, our dreams are born out of right values and right attitudes and a right attitude of ministry, then God can bless that dream. I like Rick Warren has this great sort of acrostic that I like, and about our gifts and talents. And he says that, you know, look at shape, and shape means our our spiritual gifts. What are your spiritual gifts that God has blessed you with? Something special that's a kind of an avenue of ministry. And then H is what's your heart? What's the passion that's deep inside you? And then A is our ability, sort of our natural abilities. God's blessed all of us with some natural abilities. What are they? And P is our personality. So what's the personality that we have? Are we the kind of the person that's behind the scenes? Are we the person that's out front? Or are we good with sort of multitasking? Are we focused on one thing? And then E is experience. And not just our good experiences, but also our experiences that are challenging and difficult and sometimes even failures, that God can take all those things and take that which is uniquely us, the shape that's uniquely us, and then bless us with a future that allows us to use those things, our shape, in a special way that serves God and serves the world. And so when our dreams come together with the shape that God has given us, then great things in our future, if we just trust God. Frederick Buechner, a great writer, said this. He said, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." That's beautiful. Let me read that again. "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." For each of us, God has created us not just with the gifts and talents, but with a future, a plan and purpose that will just open our hearts and lives to God. And when we're starting to meet the needs of those around us in a special way, then we'll find a fire and passion we never had before. And so I think that God wants us to dream bold dreams, and as individuals, and also I think as a church. How often have we sort of looked to the past and we look at some of the great things that the church has done locally and around the world and just here at Emmanuel, and sometimes we look and we indeed stand on the shoulders of some great people, some great men and women of the past, but you know, God wants us to have a future too. God wants us to dream of new things that we can do, and if we work together, it will be amazing what we can accomplish. So we need to dare to dream great dreams, and then we need to dare to follow those dreams. I mean, if you're going to have your dreams come to pass, then you can't just stay asleep forever. I mean, the sleeping dream is a nice dream, and we think about that, and sometimes in our dreams it seems like it's easy to obtain, but great dreams take great passion and perseverance to pursue those and to make them into reality. And you think of Joseph for a moment, and it does seem like he's a little immature here, and he is immature, but God is going to, over the course of the next years, even decades of his life, shape and mold Joseph in a powerful way, in a way that Joseph could have never imagined, to make those very dreams come true. And I think in our own lives, sometimes we think, well, the dream is going to be easy to accomplish, but great dreams are difficult. You think of some of the people that overcome great obstacles in life and around us. And Jesus said not only that you were to ask and we will receive, but Jesus also said, you know, you need to seek and you will find, and to knock and it will be open. And that is to keep on seeking and to keep on asking, then we'll find, and then the door will be open. And I think that's the way with our dreams. It takes some passion to do that through the adversity and trials and difficulties of life. But think of some great people that we know of that had great dreams, and yet they went through trials and adversity. And we think of Michael Jordan, who was cut from his high school basketball team. How would you like to be that basketball coach? But he had the ability to and the perseverance to keep going. And Wayne Gretzky, the great hockey player called the Great One, was said that repeatedly that he was too small to play in the National Hockey League. And Sheila Holsworth was a young woman who lost her sight when she was only 10 years old, and she lost her eyesight, but she had the courage to dream of climbing Mount Rainier and accomplish that. I mean, I don't know that I could climb Mount Rainier myself in decent shape, but as a blind person with tremendous disability, she went on and did that. And we think of Esther and the Bible and all the adversity and difficulty she had to overcome, and even the risk of her own life to reach out and to save the Jewish people as the one who would intercede before the king. And I think of Amos, one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. And Amos said, "Well, I'm just a farmer," but God called him to go and speak before the temple of Israel and the palace and all the powerful people. And Amos made a difference in his world. And I think of the way that God sort of writes his promises to us every day. We might say, "Well, gee, you know, I don't have a coat of many colors," but I think of the promise that God gave Noah after the flood in the earth, and God put a beautiful rainbow in the sky, and he told Noah this was a promise of God's grace, and God wouldn't bring judgment in the same way ever again. And I think to myself, you know, when you think about a rainbow, it takes two things for a rainbow. It takes the dark sky, and it takes the light as well. And so you need the dark sky is a backdrop and still some moisture from the rain in the air, need that light breaking through. And I think in our own lives, sometimes the greatest rainbow has come when we've sort of have this darkness in our sky and in our future and what we're going through, but then God breaks through in a special way, and there's the special miracle of a rainbow in our life and a special promise. It says this in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. I love these words. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Beautiful words. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I think God would speak those words to all of us today. I think for a moment, when Jesus' great words in John 10, verse 10, he says this, "I've come that you might have life and life abundantly," not just sort of getting by, but have a dream that touches the world in a powerful way. And then in these verses that were read this morning by Clay, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." What beautiful words. And sometimes we think about that, and we just think, that just seems so impossible. It seems like such a stretch. But I think God would have us reach inside ourselves and find the dream that God would have in our lives. And you know, for some people, they might be just starting out in life and think, well, I don't know, maybe the dream is too big. Well, then pursue it with all that you've got. God's blessed you with gifts and talents, and who knows what will happen if you plant the seed and allow it to grow. And then for other people, they might be in the middle of life or later, and they've had some dreams, and life has sort of dashed those dreams, and they sort of crumbled in their hands, and you're afraid to dream again. But I think God would say, you know, sometimes the most powerful accomplishments come after a chapter of failure and difficulty and adversity, just like Joseph. And for other people, they might be sort of in later in life and even retired, and they might think, well, I've accomplished my dreams. I'm just going to coast to the end. But, you know, God can give us new dreams. If we can accomplish a dream, then to celebrate and ask God for a new dream after a time of rest, and you think of some of the people in the Bible who did great things when they were older in life, and you think of Moses himself, who was 80 years old when God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and that was just the new beginning for Moses. So you never know what God would have for you. And so I want us to think for a moment, and you think, well, gee, I don't have this coat of many colors, but every morning God brings the sunrise and paints the sky with all kinds of colors, and I think we can take that as God's promise of love and care, like our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all that is. And maybe God is just reminding us to take a moment and remind us that we're a blessed son or daughter of God, and that God has dreams for us and aspirations. And so I challenge us to, in the dawning minutes of the morning, to just take a moment and to look out at that sunrise and see the colors that God has painted us, and kind of look at that as the promise of Joseph's coat, and then to give it all that we've got during the day, and then in the evening take a moment and you look at the sunset and how the sunset just lights up the sky with all the colors you could ever imagine, and think, you know, God is painting the sky again for me, just like the promise that Jacob gave Joseph, that God, my Heavenly Father, is painting the sky to remind me that there's a promise and there's a dream and that God will see me through all the adversity of life, and then to lay down and to get rest so that we can accomplish our dreams and dreams of our family life and a life of faith and life at work, accomplishing great things for God. Because when we're on fire doing the things that God would have us to do, then we're doing great things for God. It doesn't matter whether we're a professor, or a teacher, or a plumber, or a farmer, or a business person, or a student in college, whatever we're doing, if it's what God's ordained us to do, then that's the dream that God would have us, and we give glory to God in doing exactly that. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream that touched the world, and we think about his dream of justice and peace, and we think of someone like Albert Schweitzer, who had 5 different graduate degrees when he graduated from Cambridge and decided that he would go and pursue building a clinic in a remote part of Africa and touching people who would never have medical care without that. And we think of Mother Teresa, who gave away everything that she had and then gave a life that she tried to instill values and protection for orphans around the world. And all of us can have a dream, and step by step, with faith in God, God can bless that dream. And through the difficulty and the adversity of life, then we can know that God will bless us, whatever happens. Jesus said this again, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may be glorified in the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And for us as a church, we're bringing honor and glory to God and asking for a new dream and a bigger dream that God can touch us. I want to end with this poem by Roger Kelfer, and I think it's a beautiful poem. He writes this: "You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're precious and perfect, unique design, called God's special woman or man. You look like you for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together in the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the right ones he chose. And no matter how you feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind, and they bear the master's seal. Know that trauma you faced was not easy, and God wept that it hurt you so, but it was allowed to shape your heart so that in his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by his heart of love. You are who you are, beloved, so reach out and take his hand." I challenge us to dream great dreams as individuals and as a family of faith, and to do great things that would honor God. We take a moment and just close your eyes. And I want you just to think about the dreams that you have. I want you to be challenged to dream something big in your life, and even more, to dream with God. What are your highest dreams and aspirations? Are they dreams and aspirations that would use the gifts and talents God has blessed you with and honor God and serve others? Have you had a dream that seemed like it fell down to the earth when it was so high in the sky? Know that God can reinstill that dream and see you through adversity and difficulty. Or maybe you're later in life and you've accomplished great things, but maybe there's more dreams that God would have you to dream. Dreams that touch others, dreams that touch a world in need, dreams that bring Christ to the world, and dreams that reach out to our neighbors near and far. So I challenge us to dare to dream great dreams, dreams that would honor God, and I challenge us to follow those dreams. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we think of the wonder with which you created the universe, and sometimes we just get lost in the stars at night and the grandeur and beauty of the universe. And so often we forget to look in the mirror and see the wonder of what you've created in us. The psalmist writes that you have woven us together before we were even born. You've created us beautifully with gifts and talents. You've offered us a future. You've given us the gift of life. And then through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you came and showed us the way to live and to love. And through Christ dying on the cross and being resurrected to new life, we can know forgiveness and new life. We can even have our failures transformed to a beautiful future. And so, Lord, we know that we can trust you with our dreams. We know that you'd have us dream great dreams. So breathe within us a great dream this day. Dreams that use all that we have for you and to serve others. Dreams that bless others near and far. We pray that we dream dreams as individuals and as families, and also as a church, a family of faith. Help us, knowing that we stand on the shoulders of great people of the past, to not let that keep us from dreaming great dreams, but to inspire us to dream even greater dreams. And so bless us this day. Bless our hearts and minds and all that we have, that we could dare to follow the dreams that you'd have us with perseverance and courage and hope, knowing that you love us more than anyone else and that you will see us through. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.